lesson for you just in hearing that is there's a lot in John 3 that you need to know as a Christian. You want to grow. You want to become a person of faith. You say, I want to know you, Lord. We just sang that. If you mean that, then this is a part of Scripture you need to be familiar with. Today we're going to be looking at verses 31 through 36. It's the end of the chapter. John the Baptist is still the main speaker. And in it, we're going to learn about the superiority of Christ. We're going to see His rightful place. Now, before we get there, I've told you where it is. A couple things that I want to talk about, and that is about you. I want to talk about you for just a minute. You have been given a very high calling. Most of us who come to church, we don't look at it that way. We look at it and we say, well, part of my life is I attend church, and we're a little bit passive about it because Monday morning comes and we're focused on our work, and we should be. But just because we're on our way to work and just because we focus on our work does not mean that Christ is not a part of that action or a part of us as we go to work or as we deal with family or whatever the case may be. So understand, you and I have been given a very high calling, and it lasts 365 days a year, every hour of every day. It is in our life, and that is this, that we love God and we love people. That is one of the commissions that Christ has given us. We love God and we love people. And you're sitting there saying, no, Bob, not really. I don't like people very much. I understand, but I'm going to kind of hit you with something. Let's just be honest about it. That's pride in your life because you know what you like and what you're more comfortable with, and you're more interested in your own comfort than in what the Lord actually tells you to do. So I love you, but here it is. You're going to have to get over that because you're called to love God and to love people. That's part of the deal. Second, we live in and share grace. What that means is I live in a state of grace. I am living this life understanding that I am a sinful human being, that I have violated His commandments, that without His mercy I am hopeless, but He has shown me mercy in His grace, a free gift that says, I love you, I forgive you, my Son has taken it away from you and made you right before me. That is the grace that I have received from Him. And because I know I've been forgiven so much from my God, I know that when someone wrongs me, I need to practice that grace as well. I need to freely give it. I don't need to hold on to it. I don't need to be the moneylender that Jesus talked about, who when a servant came to him who owed him a massive amount of money, when that servant begged for forgiveness, he gave it. And then that servant went out, and somebody who owed him a very little amount asked him to forgive that debt. He said, I will not, and went to put him in jail. It says he began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe me. That is not us. That is not who we're called to be. We are to be the one who, because we've been forgiven much, we forgive much. And that is number three. We practice forgiveness as a way of life. How many times? Do I need to say it like 50 times in a row? We practice forgiveness as a way of life. It's a distinguishing characteristic. You are to be so radically forgiving of the person next to you, of the person who you think has wronged you, of the person who you think has not upheld their end of the bargain. You are to be so radically forgiving of that person that the people around you look at you and think you're weird. Mostly because you are, but that's who we're called to be. That's how forgiving you are called to be, because that's how forgiving your God has been to you. And so these are the things that we are to live in. These are the things we are to practice. They are to be distinguishing characteristics about the Christian. And I want you to take those ideas and hold on to them and say, do I live by these principles? Do I love God and love people? Do I receive and live in and practice grace? And do I show that forgiveness to other people? So much so that the world around me thinks he's gotten a little strange. So much so that the world around me say, maybe it may say, he's gotten soft. Let them call you soft. So what? Forgive freely, because understand, there's nothing soft about Jesus. There's not one thing soft about him. They may misunderstand him. They may think he's a grandpa in the corner winking at sin. They don't know my Savior. He's the one who takes it on himself and practices this forgiveness freely. When we read the Bible, we're to understand that it's true. Regardless of how I feel, it's authoritative and it's personal. There's not one thing written in here that wasn't written for you to read. When you turn over to Timothy and you read 1 and 2 Timothy and you determine clearly that this is what is called, if you bother to pick up, say, a commentary or a theology book, it's called a pastoral epistle. And so it's easily concluded, well, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, those are written to pastors. And so that's for the preacher to read, not for me, so I don't have to read it. Turn the page. No, it's written for you. So that you may know it's been given to you. The Bible, the whole, is true, and it's authoritative, and it's personal, and it's regardless of how you feel. And what that means for you is that as you read the Bible, because God intended for it to be for you, it means He's also, as a believer, given you the ability to understand what it says. It's not beyond you. That doesn't mean that it will not take effort. But it's not beyond you. You can read it, understand it, and obey it. It's always true, and it's always right, and it's always for you, and it always has authority over you. And so we read it, and we believe it, and the Bible reveals to you the greatest... Now catch this. If you struggle with, say, anxiety, if you struggle with nerves, if you struggle with the idea of what other people might think, or maybe if you struggle with whether or not, this is an internal problem here, with whether or not you're a success or a failure. The Bible reveals to you the greatest, wisest, most peaceful, most courageous man of all time in Jesus Christ. And so when you read the Bible, you get to know this person, this most peaceful, wisest, greatest, and courageous man of all time. You get to know him. And when you pray, you get to speak with him. So do that. Bob, I don't know about that reading the Bible. I just don't have time to read. I got to tell you, I have a little more gumption when I'm behind this big wooden desk that stands in front of you. And that is this. Don't ever come to me and tell me you don't have time to read. Just don't do it. It is like bragging about being stupid. Don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Read your Bible. I don't care if it's a little piece. Read your Bible. Don't brag about being stupid. Read it. He speaks to you through it. And don't say that you don't pray because you don't believe that He hears you. He hears you. The only thing you're dealing with is your feelings. Now, are feelings real? Yes. Are feelings important? Yes. Will they mislead you? Yes. How many times have your feelings misled you? Have you not been with you your whole life? Some of us can say, no, I've not been with me my whole life. When we read it, we are introduced to the most peaceful man of all time. When we pray, we interact with the most peaceful person of all time. And so whether you deal with anxiety of what others think of you, whether you deal with anxiety about whether or not you're a success or a failure, whether you deal with anxiety about whether or not you are a true believer in Jesus Christ or not, reading your Bible and praying will overcome all of that. Give Him a chance. Watch what God will do in your life. And so when we read this verse 31 through 36, understand, it is personal, authoritative, and intended for you. I went through all that just to remind you of that before we read this passage. So here we are in John chapter 3, beginning in verse